Well, a couple weeks ago, it's actually in December, my associate pastor, Doug Johnson, he approached me with an idea. I love it when Doug has ideas because he's a smart, if you know Doug, he's a really smart guy. And he had this idea that he wanted to do this documentary and he wanted to try something that he'd never tried before. And that was to run a marathon. And so he had this great idea because it was something the Lord was speaking to him as a word to bring to our body. And I'm excited that he is going to be taking us through that this morning. And I just want you to know, though, how much I appreciate Doug. Doug is he works at Raytheon, but he's actually a part-time, about probably 20 hours or so a week, working at Pathway of Hope on Raytheon's clock. Don't you love that? No. No, I'm just teasing you. He's a multitasker. He can do all these different things, you know, and God's blessed him with that ability. But let's welcome Pastor Doug. Can we do that? You're going to like this. You're in for a treat.
So in your worship guide is a note sheet that you can pull out, take some notes if you like. Back in December 7th, we had the Tucson Marathon here actually ended here at Coronado. If you remember that, all the parking nightmare that was out there and runners running in and out and all this stuff, it was great. And our own Mike Granderson here ran a half marathon in that race. And it kind of inspired me. And it got me thinking, you know, if Mike can do that, why can't I? So I decided to try, and we filmed it. So watch this video and see how it went.
I'm going to run a marathon. When I ran cross country in high school, I trained every day. Used to run long distances and then sprints on the opposing days, trying to get ready for the kick at the end of the race, you know, when you pass everybody at the end of the race. And so it was pretty much a day in, day out training for that. That was 15 years ago. So it's going to be an interesting time today. I think in one of the training races for high school, I think the longest we ever ran was 7 or 8 miles, something like that. So just to kind of get your endurance up for the 3 mile races, so the 3 mile races didn't seem as bad. You know? So 7 or 8 miles, I think, is the longest I've ever ran. Well, you know, life is a marathon, and you've got to be in training daily through reading the Bible and through prayer, and you've got to be ready for when the hills come. You know, a marathon is a course. There's ups and there's downs, and there's hills, and there's steep, and there's dips, and you've got to be ready for all that stuff. And the only way you can be ready for those things is by training every day. When people don't train for the marathon that is their life, they're not going to be able to handle the hard times when they come. You know, they're gonna collapse. They try to do things on their own strength instead of relying on God, and we just don't have the strength to get through those things on our own. And so, if you're not training every day, just like I haven't trained for this marathon, I'm going to collapse. And that's exactly what will happen to other people if they try to run the race of life on their own.
Check it out. What I needed to hear wasn't coming in clear. And what I now know is only partial info. I speak over temple to put words into motion. You can't stay stagnant with the future that's approaching. So, where do you stand and see the break or be broken? Forget dry land, I'd rather stand in the ocean and let the waves of the ocean roll over me. Irony, I had to suffocate before I could breathe. Now I'm in a headspace I've never been before.
Okay, I'm starting to find a rhythm. My lungs are starting to burn a little bit, but I think I'm okay for a little while longer. Half mile. Yeah. Only 25 and a half to go.
Out of control. It's a bit passion here for your radio. But that's all I know.
Leave me alone. Just let me die.
So, this is 30 days later, and I've been running just about every day over the last month, trying to get my body in shape, and so I'm going to rerun this marathon that I only got 2.5 miles in a month ago. I'm going to run it again and see how far I can get this time. I'm probably not going to get 26 miles yet, because it's only been a month, but I'm going to get farther than I did this first time I tried it, because I've been training, I've been working out, I've been running hard for the last 30 days, and so we'll see how far I get.
I can count a million times people asking me why.
So I'm at the 1 mile mark. And I'm not feeling too bad. A lot better than I did a month ago with 1 mile mark. I'm gonna slow my pace just a little bit. Pace myself. Long haul. I'm doing pretty good. Two and a half miles now. The point where I collapsed a month ago, still on my feet, hurting, still on my feet, my knees are burning, I feel like someone's poking a needle into them, just trying to take steps, still going, at the 3 mile mark, and my thighs are on fire. Are burning, it hurts. Oh, I don't know how much longer I can go. We'll see. I'm done. As far as I can go. Oh man. Oh, I can't feel my legs. Oh, they're like jelly. I hurt. Seriously, my knees are like wobbly. And my lungs are okay. I can breathe pretty good. But my legs aren't strong enough yet. More training.
So, what'd you think? Not bad, huh? Not bad. I was pretty proud of myself. And actually, the first 2.5 mile run back on the first, that was all downhill. I started up here and I ran down Oracle. So that helped. And then the 4 mile run I just ran on Friday was half downhill and half uphill because I turned around and came back the way I came. So, yeah, I was pretty happy with how things went. But there's a few things I want to draw your attention to out of that, a few principles I want you to get out of this illustration. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 12, chapter 1. That's the verse we're going to be looking at today. Paul is writing this, and he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and this is referring back to Hebrews chapter 11, which we did a whole sermon series on last year about great men of faith, you know, Abraham, Enoch, Jacob, Noah, all these people in the Old Testament who were these awesome men of faith. And so Paul is saying, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of these guys who are so awesome in their faith, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Paul calls life a race. And this race isn't a 100-yard dash. You know, it's not, boom, we're done. No, this is, life is a marathon. It goes on and on. It's got hills. It's got valleys. It's got steep inclines. It's got the downhill where you can really fly and be comfortable. And you know, it's got twists and turns, and you don't know sometimes what's coming up around that next bend. But life is like a marathon. And the first point I want you to get out of today's sermon that you can write on your note sheet there is: if you're not in shape, you will fail. If you're not in shape for that marathon of life, you're going to fail. I wasn't in shape when I ran on New Year's Day. When I ran those 2.5 miles, I was not ready for that. And I failed miserably. I ended up on the ground in pain. Couldn't walk for like 2 hours. It was bad. And just like you have to be in physical shape in order to run a marathon, you need to be in spiritual shape in order to run that race of life. There's hills, there's valleys, there's little bushes on the side of the road that try to trip you up. Rocks that you step on, try to bring you down. And it's easy to lose sight of that finish line if you're not prepared for it, because that race is so long, sometimes it's hard to remember what our ultimate goal is. It's easy to just start focusing on the things going on around us and how horrible you feel instead of just focusing on the race. It's like the football players today that are playing in the Super Bowl in a couple hours. They have trained their whole lives to get to this point. They've dedicated their whole lives to getting this to this pinnacle of their sport, and you know they've dedicated their lives to that. And how would it look if I showed up over in Tampa at the Cardinals team bus outside the hotel and said, "Hey, I'm ready to play. I'm going to play wide receiver. I can run 2.5 miles." No, they wouldn't let me anywhere. They'd probably file a restraining order or something. It'd be bad. But these people have trained their whole lives for this, and they're in shape. They're ready for what's coming. And that's the way we have to be in our spiritual lives. We have to be ready for what's coming. We've been asking God through this prayer of Jabez we've been studying for the last couple of weeks. We've been asking God to bless us. We've been asking God to expand our territory. We've been asking God for his hand to be with us and to keep us free from harm. Now, why in the world would God bless us? Why would he expand our territory if we're not in the spiritual shape enough to be able to handle what he wants to give us? Why is God going to bless this church and expand this church's territory if our church isn't in spiritual shape enough to handle what he wants to give us? In your own lives, God wants to bless you. He wants to expand your territory. He wants to bless your marriage. He wants to bless your finances. He wants to bless your career. But if you're not spiritually ready to handle that, then it's not going to happen. You got to be in shape. How do you get in shape? This is point two that you can write down. You get in shape by training. For the whole month of January, I ran just about every day, at least a mile, sometimes mile and a half. And I was training every day. I lost 5 pounds. I was getting in shape. I felt better. I felt healthier. I cut back on the soda miraculously, drinking more water. I've been getting in shape. And because of that, I was able to run 4 miles instead of 2.5. And if I keep this training up, which I'm planning on doing, maybe 2 months from now, I could run 7 or 8 miles. Maybe 6 months from now, I can run 10 miles. You know, maybe by December, I can run the half marathon with Mike. I don't know. We'll see. But you get in shape by training. How do you train for a marathon? You run every day, consistently. And over time, your stamina is going to increase, your strength is going to increase, and eventually you're going to be able to run that marathon. But you have to run every day, consistently. How do you train for this race of life? Same way. Talk to God every day, consistently. Read your Bible every day, consistently. This is training. And over time, your perseverance is going to increase. Your knowledge is going to increase. Your faith is going to increase. Your strength is going to increase. And eventually, you'll be able to run that race as well. Spiritual training involves daily Bible study and prayer. And it's not easy sometimes with our schedules. Some of us have crazy schedules. You know, like Pastor Johnny said, I work down at Raytheon. I have an hour commute each way every day. And, I'm doing this associate pastor thing as well, putting hours and hours every week into that. And it's hard sometimes to find the time to read your Bible and pray. It's hard to find the time to train. So sometimes people like me have to be creative, you know. And when time is short for me, I have the Bible on CD. And during my hour commute to work in the morning, I can pop a CD in there in the car and listen to the Bible. It's not as great as sitting down and reading the Bible, but it still gets it in there. It's still input. You know, another thing I can do while I'm commuting is pray. Talk to God. You know, I'm not on my knees. I don't have my eyes closed because I'd crash, but you know, I can spend that time praying, talking to God, telling him what's going on with me, what I need his help with, people in my life that need prayer. We've got to be creative sometimes with how we do that. Get in shape by training. And here's some tools that you're going to need to train with. First of all, need your Bible. Need your Bible. Next slide there, RJ. Thank you. One more. Beautiful. All right. So you need your Bible to train with. That's the most important thing because that's how God speaks to you, is through his word. By reading his word every day, that's how we train. That's how we get into spiritual shape, is by letting God talk to us and fill us, communicate with us. The other thing you need is some kind of a reading plan. You can get this, you can stop by a resource table after the service. We have some spiritual growth notebooks there that have a reading plan in the back of them. You can go to our website, www.pathwayofhope.net, and there's a link there for a Read Through the Bible in a Year reading plan. You can click on that and just read that day's reading every day. That's what I do. But you need some kind, maybe you just say, okay, I'm going to read a chapter a day, starting in Joshua, or starting in Matthew, or starting in Genesis. And just so you have some kind of a plan for what you want to do. Because if you don't have a plan, then it's easy to just slough it off every day. You know, and just opening the Bible and putting your finger down on a chapter isn't the best way to do things. But you need some kind of a reading plan. The third thing you need is some kind of a notebook. And I've got mine right here. This is what I write in every day. And why this is important, why this is great, is because God will say things to you while you're reading his word. And it's great because this little light bulb goes off in your head, and you're like, oh, wow, that's really cool. God said that. Okay, that's great. I'm going to remember that. And then you go on about your day, and your boss starts yelling at you, and your wife calls and starts yelling at you, and you know, you get flustered, and you have so much going on, your plate is full, and 2 hours later, you're thinking, wow, God said something to me today. What was that? I don't remember. But if you have written it down in your journal, you can just say, hey, God said something to me. What was that? Let me flip over my journal. Oh, yeah. Ooh, that was really cool. Oh, and it helps remind you and refresh your memory. And maybe even weeks later, you say, you're going through some kind of a situation or circumstance, and you think, I remember reading something about that in the past. What was that? You can flip back through your journal, and you can find exactly what God said that relates to exactly what you're going through that day. But you get in shape by training. And the fourth thing you need to train with is your knees. And like I said, you don't have to pray on your knees. Sometimes I pray in my car, you know. But the point is that you need to spend time talking back to God. Because it's a two-way street, this relationship that you have with God. You're listening to what he has to say, and you're talking back to him. Listen to what he has to say, talking back to him. You've got to spend time communicating with your creator, with your king, and he wants to hear from you. Nothing that you have to say is too trivial for him to hear. He wants you to come to him with every single thing that's going on in your life. He wants to know the details. To come to him and pray. Talk to him. And another part of training, you know, is something we've been talking about in this challenge, is showing your dependence on God through tithing. That's a great way to train because it gets your focus off of your bank account and onto God. And that's hard sometimes. Sometimes the money just doesn't add up, you know? But what you're doing when you tithe is you're showing God, I'm trusting you to take care of me. I'm not trusting my boss who signs my paycheck. I'm not trusting, my wife who pays the bills. I'm trusting you to take care of me. That's what you're doing. And tithing is a principle that God has set up in the Bible to provide for his church. Your tithes are how Pastor Johnny gets a paycheck. Your tithes. Listen to this. We're talking about this strip mall that Pastor Johnny mentioned up the road here. If we have three more tithing families, three more families committed to tithe to this church than are tithing right now, we can afford that place. That's how close we are. If we had 5 or 10 more tithing families than we have right now, then we could afford to bring on more full-time staff. Maybe give Randy a paycheck or Pastor Janet, our children's pastor. That's how close we are. And the way God has it set up is that if everyone in the church is tithing, then the church will have just enough money to do exactly what God wants us to do. That's the way he set it up. That's part of your training, showing your dependence on God by doing that. Thirdly, first of all, you're not going to be, if you're not in shape, you will fail. You get in shape by training. And thirdly, you won't be able to run a marathon overnight. I was training for a month. I got 4 miles instead of 2.5. You know, and that's pretty good. And over time, my endurance is going to increase, but I got to keep training. And it's the same way in life. You're not going to, you're not going to be sinless ever. You're going to sin. You're going to fail. There are going to be days when you forget to train or you decide not to train. You decide not to read your Bible. And that's okay. Pick it up the next day right where you left off. Just get back on that horse and keep going. sometimes it's hard. You know, over the last month, I missed some days of training. You know, over with my running, some days I was fasting and I was weak. Other days I was had church meetings all day after church last Sunday, so I didn't get to run last Sunday. This today is the Super Bowl. I'm probably not going to run today. Maybe I will enter. I don't know. We'll see. But you will fail sometimes. There will be times when you struggle. There will be times when you come to in this race of life, you come to a huge hill, you know, and you're like, how am I going to get over this? But that's why we train. If you've been training every day, then you're ready for those times when they come, when your marriage is on the rocks, when your career is in jeopardy, when your bank account is empty. If you have been training every day up to that point, then you're ready to handle those things when they come along. If you haven't been training to that point, then it's panic mode. Ah! But if you are in shape spiritually and you've been training up to that time, then you can charge over that hill. I did run I was on a cross-country team in high school, and we used to run three-mile races. And we had our home course where people would come to race against us. About 2 miles into the race, it had a hill. And this wasn't a hill. This was a mountain. It was named Odegaard's Revenge because Mr. Odegaard was a coach of the team 10 years before I was on the team, and he had found this hill, and to torment the people that were on the team at the time, he added it to the course. So it's called Odegaard's Revenge, and it is literally a half mile almost straight up. And it was great because our team was trained for it. Our team knew it was coming. Our team had run that race, run that course, you know, consistently all the time. We knew that it was coming. And we would round that bend, and we would see that hill, and the look on the other team's faces, oh, that was great. Because they would round that corner, and they would, oh, you know, they would just look up, and it would just keep going and going and going and going. And they were just in shock. It was great. And we knew it was coming, so we would take that opportunity. We would just start sprinting up the hill as fast as we could. We couldn't go the whole way sprinting, but just to, like, you know, put them in frustration and depress them, we would sprint the first quarter of the way up that incline, and it was great. Because we knew it was coming. And a lot of times in life, we'll round a corner, and we'll see Odegaard's Revenge. And we didn't know that was coming. But because we've been training every day, we're able to conquer that. Even when life gets hard, don't give up. Continue to train. Persistence, diligence, that's the key. Even when it seems like things aren't working out for you, keep training. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep talking to God. That's when it matters most. I want to challenge you this morning. If you don't have that daily time with God, that you're reading His Word or hearing His Word or whatever, talking to Him, hearing Him talk to you, I want you to make that commitment today to find some kind of a reading plan, set aside a time every day that you're going to do this. Get yourself a journal. I got this for like $2 at Office Max. Make that commitment. Read your Bible. Talk to God. And the last thing I want to say is I may look like a marathon runner. I may act like a marathon runner. I know how to stretch. I know how to start running. It doesn't make me a marathon runner. Yet. And just because You know how to look like a Christian, and you know how to act like a Christian. It doesn't make you a Christian. You got to have that relationship with God. That's what makes you a Christian. It's not about showing up to church every Sunday and putting on a happy face and you know, acting like everything's great. And you can sing the songs, you can pray the prayers. But if you don't have that relationship with the living God, it don't matter. Verse 2 of Hebrews 12 is great. Because when things get tough in the race, you know what verse 2 says? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. It says, let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. That's the finish line. When life's falling apart around you, fix your eyes on Jesus. When your marriage is in jeopardy, fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't focus on the surroundings, the circumstances going on around you, but fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today, Lord, and we thank you for your word that you've given us. That is the way that you choose to speak to us, Father. We thank you that you are accessible, that we can come to you, we can pray, we can talk to you anytime we want about anything going on in our lives. Well, I pray right now that you would give each person in this room a hunger for your word.
Yes.
Give them a desire to spend time with you every day. Lord, let them just feel that thirst for you.
Yes.
Lord, if there's anyone in this room today that does not know you, that maybe has been acting the part for a while and they've been looking like a Christian and acting like a Christian, but they really don't have that relationship with you, Lord, right now I pray that you give them a desire to know you personally and intimately. Lord, just grab onto their heart and don't let go.
Yes.
We're going to have prayer teams up here at the end of the service, if our prayer teams would come forward. And we're just going to, if you feel like coming forward, praying for anything going on in your life, or if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today, come talk to us up here at the front. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand together. You are my King,
Jesus, you
are my King. Oh, you are my King, Jesus, you. Again, let's make that confession. You are my King. You are my King, Jesus, you are my King. Oh, you are my King, Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do, in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you. Amen. We're going to dismiss right now, but if you need prayer for any area of your life, I invite you to come forward. We'd love to pray with you. We're learning it, and we know it. Like I always say lately, we know it in theology, but we're learning the reality of it. There is power in prayer. Amen. That's where the power is. There's power in prayer, so don't miss this opportunity to have brothers and sisters in Christ that love Jesus, who's changed their life. Have them pray with you, and God will meet you there. It's a guarantee. So have a great day. Enjoy your day. God bless you. You are dismissed. I'm forgiven, 'cause you were forsaken.